A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah. They have asked for that, really.
Yeah, you can laugh. It was the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist. But having said that, I want to be like me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What have you not?
I managed to stay alive for 6 days.
I'm going to need it there.
I'd say it to your face, and I'll say it to you now.
I'm down Swanfield, and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawnee man?
There was a glorious 20-second spell near the hour mark of last night's game, which began with Shane Duffy sending a booming header out of defence. Callum Robinson hoofed the ball forward to nobody in particular. There was some random head tennis, the likes of which you'd see on the crap 90s football Twitter account, before John Egan launched it out over the touchline, where Stephen Kenny tried and failed to control it under his foot. It was as if the Ireland team had heard all this pre-match talk from the Luxembourg manager about us being an old-fashioned British team and decided if it's long balls you want, it's long balls you're going to get. A few minutes later, this direct approach paid off when Shane Duffy headed us into the lead. At that stage, Luxembourg were surely thinking, we know what happens next. These British long ball merchants will defend for their lives like their beloved Terry Butcher. They'll chop us down in midfield like Vinnie Jones, compete in the air up front like Nat Lofthouse. Instead, we flummox them by unleashing the skill of Jason Knight and scoring two extremely lovely goals to finish them off. Welcome to Monday Second Captains Luxembourg Republic of Ireland Reaction Pod. Hi Ken, hi Murph.
Hello, hey, Owen, how are you?
How's it going?
How am I?
Pretty high. You sound high as a kite there, aren't
you? Well, our Ireland New Zealand rugby show
been
is
at
still
the prescription
to come
meds again.
Again, all I want to see is good football, and it turns out the meds are being supplied in abundance.
Oh, that's good. A natural high.
The good doctors of Irish sport have hit Owen up with another hefty prescription.
I did think I was given a few duds. Yeah, for the first hour, I was like, these tablets ain't working. But for the last 25 minutes or so, I felt unbelievable. And of course, our World Service members will get treated to another football podcast tomorrow. Our Ireland New Zealand rugby show will be out later today. But Ken, did you enjoy last night? I know you were also struck by Stephen Kenny's... the only misstep he made all night is unfortunately.
Well, that's the moment, you know, when you've got a Zidane or a Mancini in the dugout, you know, because they just control that with their loafer. They just stun the ball dead. But in this case, it did escape underneath Stephen Kenny's foot and sort of ricocheted off in the direction of the tunnel. Maybe he meant to kick it there. You know, because
take the sting out of it because we weren't going so well at that
maybe,
stage.
Look, maybe it was a bit of gamesmanship. I mean, you said in your intro that Jason Knight, we unleashed the skills of Jason Knight. We had already unleashed Jason Knight, the guile of the 20-year-old, who I have to say, he did a great job to win that free kick from which Ireland took the lead. You know, fair play to him. I mean, I think it was Ronnie Whelan did mention that he was trying to get into the box. He didn't quite make it into the box before he fell over. But it was, yeah, you know, I can see the influence of, you know, the continent on that. He's a blend of continental and British influences. And so we scored. I mean, what I was really happy about in the game was the way that Ireland went from playing badly and being dominated and looking like they were going to lose to resting back control of the game and eventually winning it easily. You know, I mean, when was the last time Ireland have actually done that in a game? Got, you know, hit a real bad patch and kind of and then somehow then been able to actually make changes, come through it, and, you know, become dominant and score some really nice goals. Yeah, it was. It made me feel good, Owen.
It was as though we had to grind out a 1-0 win, but it actually turned out that we were grinding out a 1-0 lead, and yeah. then turning it on after that, which is, it's actually in ways a microcosm of the campaign, in that we had our early struggles, and there's definitely resilience to this team. They didn't seem too fazed last night by the fact that they weren't playing well. You know, it's not that often Irish teams, it's quite hard for any team really just to suddenly turn it on its head. Now, in fairness, it wasn't like we were by any means a disaster in the first half. It was a sort of weirdly open game, as Stephen Kenny talked about afterwards. He was saying that we knew they were slow in defence, so we were bombing forward as fast as we could at any opportunity, but that was leaving us a little bit open. But it was kind of it was an entertaining sort of a nil-nil. And at the first 10-15 minutes of the second half, though, we just, I don't know what happened.
Really bad.
Things were not looking good before we eventually got on top again.
Well, we were lucky then. I mean, the goal that they scored was ruled out for not a big shove, but like, there was a little push, but often you'd get away with that, I think. I mean, Duffy sort of went down looking for it and then kind of stayed down going, hang on, is that not going to be a foul? And you're sort of going, you need to get back up. And then, you know, they scored and the referee decided no. And in fairness, the referee should have given Ireland a penalty in the first half. There was the really obvious foul on Adam Ida, which wasn't looked at. Again, you know, we had to wait till half time, I think, to actually see it again. But it was like, it just confirmed what everybody thought. Yeah, I mean, that's a definite penalty. How did they not give that? So, you know, I saw the Luxembourg manager, who seemed to be in punchy form.
Oh, yeah. We might come back to him.
He blamed the ref. He said it was all the ref's fault. But, you know, realistically, the ref should have given Ireland a penalty. Like, the ref made mistakes. I don't think the Duffy one really was a mistake, actually. You know, the goal that was ruled out for Luxembourg. I'm just saying, I think we were a bit lucky there. Like, that could have...
You're indulging in self-flagellation here, Ken. I mean, you know, like, it was a foul. It wasn't much of a foul, but it was a foul. So.
Yeah. But then if we were saying that the one wasn't a foul on the Portuguese goalkeeper the other night...
Well, it was less of a... the Portuguese one, I was going to say, is less of a foul than something else. It doesn't matter, Owen.
Let's not get bogged down in refereeing decisions. Yeah. We've had some bad luck over the course of the campaign. We've had bits of good luck now as well. So the point is, we got the goal through Duffy. Again, maybe a nice refereeing decision to get us a free kick. Doesn't matter. A weird free... Their poor goalkeeper, I have to say. The poor lad is... I don't know if the child has been born yet or not, but he wasn't supposed to be playing because of the birth of his child. And then another goalkeeper with COVID, there's another one injured. So it was like, sorry, mate, you've got to line out for your country here. Then he gets bashed by Shane Duffy early on. Couple of bad clearances. Was a bit ropey for the Duffy goal.
I didn't think the goal was his fault. Actually, it looked like a tragic flap by the goalkeeper, but actually it was a deflection from one of the defenders in front of him who sort of tried to head it and basically diverted it out of the goal. There was nothing.
I know, it was just, but it was just a miserable end. I'd say he's not feeling too good about it. And then he has to go back to... You know, I mean, the lad's not getting sleep for days after that either. So it's just
they had two sub goalkeepers on their bench though. I mean, how bad must those two guys have been?
Yeah.
Well, the main guy was, as you mentioned, had COVID. Like, so I mean, it's not so Luxembourg or like Ireland, and they've just got world class goalkeepers, you know, coming out their ears. You know, not everybody is as lucky as Ireland. Not everyone is as well endowed in the goalkeeping department as this small nation of ours. And we saw that again last night. I mean, because I'm sorry, but the save by Bazuna was just absolutely incredible, you know. And I was sort of thinking, like, I saw Brian Kerr after. Brian Kerr was sort of saying, yeah, you know, one of the points that he made was, yeah, you know, things are going a bit better for Stephen Kenny now because he sort of realized he has to pick some older, more experienced players. He can't just be like, you know, playing kids. This, and I was like, did you notice that the best player in the game was Jason Knight, who's 20, and probably the second best player was Gavin Bazunu, who's 19. You know what I mean? Like, how many of these guys do you actually need? You know, or how many, you know, like, you say, well, Gavin Bazunu, it's like, I see people say, well, Bazunu's bailed him out. It's like, Bazunu, who else would have picked him at this point? You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, he's a phenomenal talent. Maybe other managers would have recognized that as well, but I don't know. I think managers are usually pretty reluctant to play. He was 18, wasn't he, when he played his first competitive match? Bazoon, or certainly just after his 19th, it would have been very close to his 19th birthday, and that's a big call. So if you're goalkeeper that you've decided to show faith in. You know, no one wants to play an 18 or 19 year old goalkeeper because they assume this is a child. He'll crack up. He won't be able to handle it. You know, if you decide to go with that, then, and your goalkeeper plays really well, then, you know, I think that's credit to you. Like you're sort of getting your rewards. So overall, I mean I don't know if when you compare the team to like the team that played last year against like Finland or whatever in September, there's very little difference actually in experience profile or age profile. You know, like Aaron Connolly was in that team and he wasn't there last night, but you know, Harry Arter was in that team, you know, Randolph or whatever has been replaced by Bazunu. There's actually really not that much difference. The main difference now, I think, is that for the first time, Stephen Kenny has actually been able to pick quite similar teams in a number of games in a row without being like, five players have been ruled out by, you know, COVID, or, you know, that kind of nonsense was just happening the whole time. You know, even Knight, who came on last night and played so well, missed the Serbia and Portugal games because Wayne Rooney injured him in training. Like, his manager injured him. Like, that's just, like, when freak things like this are happening, you're just kind of like, well, what, you know, what do I need to do to get a break here? And finally, they've started to get that. Like, you know, the own goal that Serbia scored and, you know, the kind of the Luxembourg goalkeeper being ruled out. You know, for once, the key player who got ruled out wasn't one of our guys. By COVID, so you know, things have evened out look wise I guess, and I do feel as though it's not just it's the consistency of selection, which he wasn't able to do before. You see the difference that can make, and also I think the crowd is making a difference. Like, have we lost in front of a crowd yet? Oh, we lost in Portugal. That was a Portuguese crowd, and we only just barely lost that 1-0. You know what I mean?
As Stephen Kenny has pointed out on a number of occasions.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's on the record. We know what happened there. It was pretty unlucky and all, but can we please stop if it wasn't for Ronaldo in the 97th minute?
Yeah.
In the last matches, they played more with the style that they played for 100 years. It was more British style, Luke Holtz told his pre-match press conference, the Luxembourg manager. This fighting spirit, more long balls, more contacts. I think Ireland is in good shape. Stephen Kenny, after the match, didn't say too much about it beforehand, but after the match, he took offence, not on behalf of his team, but on behalf of Irish football legends of the past. He's a good football coach, but psychology, maybe he needs to have a look at that side of things. His sports psychology wasn't of the highest order. We were disappointed he denigrated all the great players who played for Ireland. Dennis Irwin, Roy Keane, John Giles, Liam Brady, Mick McCarthy, Robbie Keane, Damien Duff. It's wrong to say they just fight for second balls and played caveman football for 100 years. It's wrong to suggest that. We thought he denigrated a lot of players, and that was unacceptable.
Did he do that, though? I mean, I thought this was a bit weird. This actually reminded me a little bit of Steve Staunton coming into a press conference with a devilish gleam in his eye and saying that, you know, there'd been some high-powered German delegation over that had been rather sniffy about Croke Park. You know, when you say things like that about a stadium like Croke Park, you know, they went down in my estimate.
He went down,
you know,
in my estimate,
like, who are these delegations? So it was like, you know, high powered. They were pretty important people.
Nice suits, well dressed.
It's like, what? What is this on? The Germans insulted our stadium, insulted our substitute stadium. You know, this will not, like, Staunton was obviously trying to generate it. We'll pin it up in the dressing room wall. You know, Germans criticize Croke Park buffet, you know? Like, and everyone's like, I'm sorry, this is just the strain's credibility. I mean, like, in this case, there's no doubt the Luxembourg manager did say it, but I mean, did he really, was it that big a deal what he said? Like, I mean, it just seemed like a kind of
standard thing that,
yeah,
well, I suppose we do sort of expect that from, say, the Italy manager or the Germany manager.
Everyone
when it's a team
says it.
Like Luxembourg,
says it.
I know, but I would have thought teams, you know, who are based on the results of these, you know, a similar level to ourselves, having beaten them having beaten us, you think they might actually analyse us a bit more and realise that we have been playing some fairly nice football. He was at it after the match. He was saying, I'm very disappointed about the behaviour of the staff of Ireland this evening. They came and played the big guys because they won. In Ireland, where we won, they immediately disappeared to the dressing rooms. And he started going on a bit more about some unsportsmanlike stuff, which he didn't really elaborate on. He also refused to accept that
one, of the, one of the reasons
the,
for that.
The journalist apparently kept saying, you know, we're actually not British. And he just ignored what
Well, a lot of these Germans can be pig-headed like that. You know what I mean? It's a kind of obstinacy is a kind of, you know, it's their way or the highway, you know, their way or the autobahn. One of the reasons that the Irish staff and players maybe disappeared and didn't walk around clapping all the fans on the ground is that it wasn't an empty stadium the last time, you know, the Luxembourg. Like, it wasn't, there's not really much point in going up to the South Stand and just clapping the green plastic chairs. You know what I mean? That's not something
Robbie
which
Keane
I would have
did
expected.
It once and he got a lot of abuse for it, so.
When did Robbie Keane?
Where we started, he gave the Cup to Ears celebration to the 1,000 people that showed up to that Nations League game.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't at that one. I remember watching that one. I was away for that. Didn't make it to the 1,000 people, which kind of, you know, sort of, actually. In years to come, I would have. I remember it was empty stadium because you can hear the Irish players all screaming at each other when they went 1-0 down and they realised they were about to lose to Luxembourg, and you could hear the panic like so clearly from the team. So then it slunk away to the dressing room. Was no surprise. There was actually nobody there, Luke Hultz. And, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, were the Irish staff rude and obnoxious? I didn't see it myself, so I can't really say. Maybe they were wound up by this by these terrible comments. Although, to be honest, when I heard Stephen Kenny say that, I was wondering, are you trying to butter Liam Brady up a little bit here? Like, is that what this is about? You know, sort of restating some kind of fundamental respect for Liam Brady's footballing qualities, despite like the fact that Brady's been blasting away at you on, you know, on RTE. Like, this whole contract thing is just so weird, I think. Like, why are we all talking about this contract so much? Like, it's obvious that Stephen Kenny will continue to be the manager. Like, it's, nothing is more obvious. You know what I mean? Well, like, I care said something like, well, you know, the FAI are broke. They're going to be broke no matter who they hire. You know what I mean? That's not going to change whether or not they get some lesson than Stephen Kenny.
Kerr's making a point which he didn't elaborate on, but he made a reference to how Stephen Kenny has this big backroom staff.
He's carrying a lot of staff.
Now, in fairness, if any accusations, whatever can be thrown at Stephen Kenny, I think compared to some other former employees of the FAI, I wouldn't be, you know, getting down his throat about how much money he's taking out of the FAI. He's not by standards of previous managers, he's not on a massive wage or anything. So that was kind of a funny one. And interestingly, Brady, at least post-match, did sort of accept, look, he's getting a new contract. I'm sticking to my guns. I think we should wait. But
Brady's like, let's only give him a contract for the next sort of few matches or something.
Well, for another year. Like, he said pre-match do a 12-month extension. But by my maths, that would leave us in the middle of the Euros then. So I looked at it this morning, and I think that might leave us actually in the middle of a campaign, which I don't really understand the point of. But at post-match, he was sort of saying, look, you know, he's saying what you're saying now, he is getting a new contract. Well, whereas Kerr and Richard Dunne were still very much saying, no,
why
would you give him the contract? What's the rush?
What's the rush? Where else is he going to go?
Yeah, it's not a sackable offence to lose to Luxembourg, said Richard Dunne, so it shouldn't be cause for a new contract to beat Luxembourg. There are still some people, Ken, there were some people getting back to me last night saying, you know, we've only beaten Luxembourg and Azerbaijan in this group in competitive games. So, you know, relax a little bit with all the Stephen Kenny love.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true that we have only beaten Azerbaijan and Luxembourg and drawn with the other teams in the home games and then lost the significant away matches and also lost to Luxembourg, which was also significant. So, yeah, it hasn't been a good campaign. I mean, the beginning, the first half of it was a disaster, you know, completely disastrous.
Okay, so if it hasn't been a good campaign and half of it was a disaster, then why is he such a shoo-in for the new deal and why is it not a debate worth having?
Because of the development of the team. You know, because the team is so clearly developing in a good direction, because of all the obstacles that he's had to face, or the disaster that happened, I think can be explained by any number of extraordinary factors, which we've already discussed ad nauseum. In the midst of all this, he's managed to completely refresh the squad. Like he was talking about, you know, 16 players they've capped or something like this. They brought in lots of young players who are going to be big players for Ireland over the next however many years. Now, you know, this is like, remember when Trapattoni was the manager, he barely used the guy under the age of 27. He barely brought in a new player in the entire 5 years that he was there. You know what I mean? Like, who did he actually introduce into the team? James McCarthy, eventually, after he was begged for 2 or 3 years, please play this guy. Seamus Coleman eventually became established in the team in 2013, the year that he turned 25, right? After he was left out of the Euros the previous season, because he was only 24, or maybe 23. I'm not sure what point his birthday is in the year, Seamus Coleman. But like, he was an established Premier League fullback and still didn't go to the Euros because Trapp was like, well, is he experienced enough? You know what I mean? That's the attitude that we were dealing with. That's the era when a lot of the damage was done. I mean, this, it was kind of similar with O'Neill. O'Neill's like, oh, there aren't any players. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, in turn, Stephen Kenny maybe has been forced to use players, or maybe he's decided to do. Well, you know, there's a bit of push and a bit of a pull factor, you know, in what he's done. But the result of it is that we have got a refreshed squad now. We've got a sort of a team that looks like we've got sort of options. I mean, none of us actually got the team right. Remember, we were saying, "Oh, we've got a solid team now," yeah. And we were planning. We thought, well, this group think that we're all agreeing on the team must reflect that we're in a good place. Actually, we all got the team wrong because none of us had Ogbeni. And none of us had Ogbeni to start, and he's delivered, like, he's played really well in the two games, and that's another player who Stephen Kenny has gone out and found. You know what I mean? I think that's really impressive, like, compared to what was going before. So, like, the idea that you would now bring someone else in, why? Because the FAI is broke. All right, okay, so someone else is going to be cheaper. Like, are you going to, how are you going to find a, like, it doesn't make any sense. Come in and take over this squad, which Kenny has kind of has sort of reconstructed with all of these new players, and sort of as that process is going, just boot him out and bring someone. Like, it's just ludicrous. Like, it's nonsense. I'm not saying that that Kenny is perfect or everything he's done. Like, I mean, you know, the Luxembourg British football stuff is like, sound like complete rubbish to me, right? But like, every manager is going to make, no manager is perfect. I think in aggregate, he's done a really good job. You know what I mean? And like, the idea that you would now say, all right, well, we've seen enough of you, let's get someone else in. It's just nonsense. Like, who are you going to bring in? You're going to bring in Klopp. You know, if you're telling me Jurgen Klopp was going to take over, I might be like, well, Klopp is a good manager. You know, Kenny's done great, but maybe Klopp can take this squad. You know, maybe that's not the world we're living in. You know what I mean? Like,
Conte's gone now, so.
Conte's gone. You know, who do we get? Like, Solskjaer? You know, well, actually, that was a joke Liam Brady made. I don't know if you saw Liam Brady was on the Late Late Show.
No.
With Liam Brady and Eamon Dunphy were both on the Late Late Show, as well as the girl who got Ronaldo's shirt, which, by the way, I don't agree with. They don't even show you streakers in football matches anymore because they don't want to encourage the other prospective streakers. But now children who invade the pitch are being invited onto the Late Late Show and showered with gifts. Come on. What's going on here?
You think it's
going
to be a scourge of kids now? Like, you know, every kid in the stadium is
100%. Right. 100%, of course.
Well, there was one at the rugby.
There was, yeah. That was like 2 days later.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, great. Oh, we're going to fly out to New Zealand. You're gonna live as like
the pitch invading kids are the problem. with this country, Ken.
You're going to do the Lord of the Rings tour. You know, you get to live as a hobbit and go on a mock Lord of the Rings quest in New Zealand for like 6 months. You
worse know, that's, than that, the kid's going to be playing scrum half against France next Saturday night.
Why are some of our boys are out of commission? They took a bit of a pounding against the Kiwis. Or sorry, I watched a bit of the game. The Kiwis. that's what we call them, right?
Yeah, not the All Blacks. We call them the Kiwis. Yeah, the All Blacks. Giving them too much respect.
Brady's joke was Brady basically was saying, well, I thought he kind of rolled back a bit from some of his comments because he evidently was aware that maybe the reaction to some of his comments on the analysis had been, let's, if I can characterize the general reaction, is Liam Brady is being a little bit too negative here, you know, all things considered. I would say that's a fair reflection of a lot of the reaction I saw, right? It was stated in very, you know, sometimes more strongly than that.
From time to time, yeah. I mean, there was a broad spectrum of language used.
And he seemed to sort of say, look, you know, that the game, it's like he described it as a mild affair, or like, you know, he used these types of, where he was like, you know, the game itself was boring. Like, you know, don't tell me that was a great game. But overall, that you know, the job Stephen Kenny had done was good, which I don't think actually came across very much in his comments the previous night, because I think he came across as a bit skeptical. I mean, because he was obviously part of that Trapattoni regime. You know what I mean? He is part of the history that's been implicated. It's why it's ironic that Stephen Kenny sort of has a pop at this Luxembourg guy for supposedly insulting the history of Irish football, when in fact that's exactly what Stephen Kenny is felt to have done by, I think, a lot of these people who were there before. It's like, oh, what, you're saying you're going to be better than we were? Oh yeah,
definitely.
You must think you're very special. Well, let's see just how special you are. You know what I mean? I kind of feel as though that was coming across a bit in some of the analysis from Brady anyway, because, you know, understandably, I think, feels proud of, I suppose, his record with the team and what they did in those years. The results were were good. I mean, Trapattoni, don't forget Trapattoni in 2009. You know, we nearly got to the World Cup. He had a 16% win rate that year. That's not to be sneezed at.
When 16. You win,
go and check the statistics. 2009, the Annus Mirabilis. We didn't lose many matches. But we didn't win too many matches either. The joke was basically why rush to give Stephen Kenny a contract when, you know, like, it's not like anyone's going to come in and swoop and snatch him away. And he was talking about this conversation he was having with the taxi driver, and the taxi driver looked at him and said, "Well, Liam, Manchester United." And Liam was like, "You got me there." So the joke, just to explain, in case anyone didn't follow that, the joke was that Manchester United might be interested in poaching Stephen Kenny because, of course, you know, their own manager perhaps is struggling.
Indeed.
But yeah, I just kind of feel, realistically, if we were to say, "No, Steve, you know, thanks, good, but not good enough, we're going to get someone else." Who are we realistically going to get? You know, it's like, will it be Robbie Keane? It's like, we're broke. He's still got a contract. Welcome home, Robbie. Is that literally what would happen? Like, anyway.
There we are. Right, we've got a... Murph, we haven't heard much from you today, and there is an email here entitled "Ken owes Kieran an apology." So what
I actually was wondering where your apology was. I was obviously too polite to bring it up, but I thought that you would be saying, "Look, I was wrong about everything."
Oh, jeez.
No, I
have to say that the constant misrepresentation of my position in the immediate aftermath of the Ireland 1, Azerbaijan 1 result is a stain on both of your journalistic careers, but I've risen above it. I'm happy. The rugby team are winning. The football team are winning. Now is not the time to go around, you know, fact-checking. So, no, listen.
So you don't want me to read this out?
I do want you to read it out.
I am deeply sorry for my unacceptable and selfish behaviour.
Irresponsible
and selfish behaviour.
Get the line right.
John Duddy emails in. Yep. Dear second captains.
Boxer.
I was delighted. Not again, no, he says...
Boxer or the surgeon?
No, he explains that... Yeah, he's the surgeon. Yeah, he says it in here. I was delighted with Ireland's win, as I'm sure you all were, following on from the recent good results. It shows a promising improvement. You could even say it shows that Ireland are capable of beating these teams, and furthermore, we should expect to beat teams that are ranked 50-odd places below us in the world rankings. This is exactly what Kieran said on the podcast that infamous day, and he repeated the point the following day. For expressing this view, which was shared by thousands of Ireland supporters, myself included, he was subjected to a vicious and personalised attack by Ken, who deliberately misrepresented his point, using all of the dirty tricks he learned from the debating days at Trinity College.
Yes.
Murph, did you write that? Did you send this to John Duddy?
No, but I agree wholeheartedly with the good doctor's prescription.
It is possible to support a team and its players and simultaneously be disappointed when the team fails to meet expectations. The least fans like us expect is to beat vastly inferior teams like Qatar and Luxembourg. Recent results have proven what I've always believed, that Ireland has decent players who can play a more expansive style of football than we have seen under previous managers and achieve results, particularly against limited opposition. Ken's previous assertion that we can no longer expect to beat these teams has proven to be wrong, as was the way he insulted his friend and colleague for making this very point. He should apologise to Kieran and to the rest of us on Team Kieran, who he slandered as people who boo young men for representing their country.
Thank you very much.
As an expert on non-apology apologies, I'm sure you'll have no problem reminding Ken that a proper apology contains the word sorry and acknowledgement of what was said and done, that it was wrong, and it has no qualifiers like but or if, etc. Here's a football from John Duddy, the brain surgeon, not the boxer.
John Duddy in opposite land. What's the address on that? Is it the island of Dr. Moreau? Where has that been sent to us from? That's absolutely unbelievable stuff.
It's Stone Age stuff that I've heard from you this morning.
I'll be waiting, incredible. Doc. Don't worry.
Sebastian Till played for 4 minutes.
See, I couldn't get a game, Sebastian.
The guy played 4 minutes and he's shot down Real Madrid in the Champions League this season. You know, I'm telling you, if we had a guy on the bench that shot down Real Madrid, people would be asking questions. Where was he? You know, we lose 3-0 and our Real Madrid goleador doesn't get off the bench until minute 86. I tell you, Luke Holtz whoever our manager was wouldn't have been able to get away with hiding behind some nonsense about the British-style tactics of the opposition. You know, we'd be asking some questions about that. But that's the embarrassment of riches, to use your phrase, that Luxembourg football currently has, you know, nestled there between France, Germany, Belgium and Holland. We're talking about the best football nations in the world. It's like at the heartland of Western European football culture right there, with that blend of influences. Also with Portugal, right? I mean, look at the half the names in the Luxembourg team last night were Portuguese. A friend of mine was like, yeah, this is the, they've got the blend of Portuguese and German names that reminds you of Brazil. So, you know what I'm saying is, we went out there and we doled out a little bit of a football lesson, maybe a bit of a history lesson too.
Murph, do you accept this apology?
I accept that this is as close as I'll get to an apology. Yes, Owen, thank you.
But I mean, it's clearly, as everybody knows, you're the one who should be apologizing. But it's okay. No. I'll accept your apology as well.
No, the history that you and Owen have been painting ever since this row happened.
Hey, would suggest.
No,
I'm the
you're
peacemaker.
Actually worse than Ken.
I'm the peacemaker. Worse than Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck I mean, you. We've got a full
Let's take this offline. Let's take this offline. If McDevin is on here swearing at me, I don't want any of this broadcast.
Well, listen, we've got a full football podcast to come tomorrow only for World Service members. If there's still a second captain's company to put it out at that stage. So we'll leave it there. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks for listening. Oh, nice, nice. So you can join us on secondcaptains.com for €5 a month plus VAT. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Worse than Ken. Fuck you.
How long is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. Those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.